My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard this week. It's Dan Dibley, FB Santangelo, Mark Randy with you here on Willard and Dibs. The trade deadline is an hour old. We will hear from Farhan Zaidi, Giants president of baseball operations, coming up in just a little bit. But first, all guests at 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, and that includes, of course, one of our favorites, Dr. Nirav Pandya, who joins us on Cleared to Play, where we take you inside the tent and get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Doc, how you doing? Happy deadline day.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. The Giants make a couple of moves. They trade out Alex Cobb. They trade out Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson. They bring in Mark Canha and a couple of others. But maybe the biggest news of what this all means is Hayden Birdsong probably going to get a rotation spot, a consistent rotation spot for the rest of the season. Keeping an eye on him and Kyle Harrison and these young guys who maybe haven't pitched a number of full professional seasons for quite a while. Just how important is it for guys, young guys, developing guys, to make sure they don't go crazy with their innings pitched, and how might that impact the way the Giants manage these things, specifically with Kyle Harrison and Hayden Birdsong down the stretch?
Yeah, no, I think it's really important, and I think especially as you get in the latter half of the season, number one, it's looking at how frequently are they pitching, which may be different, especially if they're going down to the minors, coming back up. So you're looking for that they have enough recovery in between starts. And the second thing, you are looking at pitch counts, and I think as opposed to 10, 15 years ago, these players have a lot more wear and tear on their arms than years past. So as you get later in the season, if they're hitting up high pitch counts, their arms may not necessarily be able to handle that prolonged stress. So absolutely looking at them pitching potentially 4 or 5 innings, making sure you're not getting that shoulder soreness, that elbow soreness. So very important, particularly as the season goes on.
From forearm soreness is another thing as well. Tyler Matzik, the new acquisition coming off of Tommy John, now has flexor tendon signaling. Exactly what is that, Doc?
Yeah, so, you know, this is a common thing that we see with, you know, patients who basically either get a UCL tear or have UCL surgery. And what happens is essentially on the inside part of your elbow, there's something called the flexor pronator mass, which is essentially the muscles that basically help to kind of like move your wrist up and down and turn it kind of side to side. And when you are throwing repetitively, not only does your UCL get strained, but those muscles in that area also get strained, and the nerve, which is the ulnar nerve on the inside, all gets irritated. So a lot of times coming off UCL surgery, even though the ligament may be healed, that area gets irritated as well too. So it's a warning sign that something may not necessarily be going right. So immediately, particularly after a UCL injury, when someone goes surgery, you get that pain, you shut them down to make sure that inflammation goes away and doesn't impact that surgery that they had done.
Doc, I chucked one from short about 3 weeks ago, and something felt weird in my elbow. And it's just like, it's very sore, and I can't throw. And when I do throw, it feels like there's a knife in there. Did I blow out? Do I need Tommy Johnson surgery now?
Tommy Johnson.
Well, you don't need Tommy Johnson surgery, definitely. But no, I mean, you can't. I mean, like, as we get older as well, too, you can blow out a UCL. But typically, usually this is more of a tendonitis type issue. It'll feel like a sharp stabbing pain. May hurt at night. So
yeah.
I think a little ice, a little anti-inflammatories, you'll be okay.
Yeah, maybe. Can you give me a shot, Doc? Just I need a cortisone shot for old time's sake. Just like, shoot me up. Let's go. I'm doing these fantasy camps. It's important.
Exactly.
All right,
get you back out on the field.
Thanks, Doc. I appreciate it. All right, thanks, Doc. Appreciate your time as always. We'll check in with Niners camp coming up next week, and we'll get into more of that other stuff. We appreciate you taking out the time as always, and we'll catch up with you next week. Okay, Doc?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, that's Dr. Nirav Pandey. We appreciate it. As always, the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health, and that was Cleared to Play here on 95.7 The Game. All right, Farhan Zaidi has addressed the media down at Oracle Park after the Giants trade deadline. No more Jorge Soler, no more Luke Jackson, no more Alex Cobb. In comes, for the San Francisco Giants, Mark Canha, Giants president of baseball operations. Farhan Zaidi addressed it all. Here it is on 95.7 The Game.
You know, I think as we looked at how this season has unfolded so far, a couple things really stand out. You know, one which people have talked a lot about, and it's certainly how we feel internally, is it's been a long road to get our rotation to the place it's in now, and we feel like we have the best rotation in baseball. So. And when you have starting pitching like that, it can get you on a roll. And, you know, for us to keep that group together, seeing how we played this past weekend was, you know, really high priority. And obviously we had to be open to things that might come up. But that was really, you know, really our central philosophy going into the deadline is, we have a rotation that can carry this team down the stretch and get us on a roll. The other thing is, this season for us really, I think, has been about some breakthroughs by young players. And oftentimes those breakthroughs don't happen until you give a guy a real opportunity. So Robinson's opportunity came after Lee got hurt. We released Nick Ahmed and traded Austin Slater at, you know, kind of difficult times to give Luis Matos and Tyler Fitzgerald an opportunity. Obviously, Fitz has you know, been unbelievable for us. And, you know, Luis is still obviously a guy we believe in and think he'll be here down the stretch at some point as well. Yeah, Hayden Birdsong, at a time when our rotation was beat up, you know, really accelerated his timetable. And you know, a lot of the Alex Cobb deal was really just about creating a spot for him. The deal last night was a lot about creating at-bats for Luciano, who's really come a long way offensively. I think we have seen his trajectory over the last few years, and we talked a little bit about how he can get put under a microscope because he's been such a highly thought-of prospect from the time he signed at 16. Sometimes you lose the zoom out big picture of how much progress he's made. And we've really seen that over the last month. So I think this, you know, the first couple of trades were really about creating opportunities for young players, which has been, you know, the catalyst for some of our best play so far. And, you know, then kind of here at the buzzer, you know, Bob got a hold of the car keys and brought in another one of his guys. So, you know, Mark Canha is just like a perfect fit for this roster with, you know, his versatility, ability to play the corners, play first base, start, come off the bench. You know, we're very left-handed in the corner, so he fits that perfectly. And I think the relationships he has in the clubhouse, which obviously Bob can speak more to, and really this city and this region, just a great fit for us, and I know people are excited about it. So, yeah, that's kind of our thinking in a nutshell.
You've already seen this year, Farhan, just how you can never have enough pitching depth with what you had to go through in the first half. Was it difficult to give up some of that depth with Cobb, even though, like you said, you are making a space for Birdsong? Because you do have two more months to get
there. Yeah, no, it was tough, partly because of the guy Alex is, and we know how hard he's worked to get back to this point, you know, between the surgery and some of the setbacks he had along the way, and to move him right at this point, right as he's ready to take the mound for us, is tough because of the guy he is. And kind of to your point, Bags, like, you don't know if someone's going to get hit by a line drive there, you know, first inning out there. So it, you know, creates some risk. But for us, the job Hayden's done, and for us to kind of really believe in the role that this group of five starters can get on, you've got to sort of take a little bit of a chance and a leap of faith that they're going to pitch, they're going to be healthy, and if something happens, we'll have to figure out another plan. I mean, we've got a couple of guys in AAA that we think can come up and do the job for us, and we've had to sort of improvise at different times this year. Obviously, that's not plan A, but if it happens, we'll figure it out. But it's always nice to have that safety net, but sometimes, again, when you're talking about creating pathways for young players, that's some of the discomfort you have to deal with, is when you're a young player, your optionable player is the best option, and the guy who, you know, might be in front of him has to, you know, you've got to make a move with that person. Yeah, you'd love to sort of have your cake and eat it too, but that's often not how it works. So,
hi, Farhan. I imagine you received a bit of calls for Blake Snell. What would it have taken for another team to for you to trade him away?
Yeah, I think a trading him would have changed the course of this season, where we still believe in what we can accomplish. And again, you know, leaning into our youth, leaning to our rotation is really the plan. So if someone really came to us with something we thought could really change our future, you know, then, and you're making that sort of trade-off of the present versus, you know, 2026, 2027. You know, that's challenging. But again, I think the way things have come together, this rotation, it was really going to have to be something that we thought would do just that, just like really change the course of future years for this organization, and not just be sort of a package of prospects that, you know, would slide into this slot and that slot on your Baseball America list, you know, and that just didn't happen.
Farhan, when you trade a guy like Soler, who's less than a year into a 3-year deal and he just signed, do you have to consider what impending future free agents might think about that?
I think it's a fair question. Look, Jorge was a total pro. We loved having him here. You know, he's going to a team he's played for before, has relationships. I know he's happy about it, even though I think anytime you get traded, there's some degree of sadness or disappointment. So, you know, we do take that kind of thing into account, understanding that there are places that a player is going to be more comfortable getting traded to, a place where he's been before. I mean, you even look like a guy like Alex Cobb. You know, he mentioned to me when I talked to him earlier today that Stephen Vogt and Craig Albernaz were his two first catchers in pro ball. So, you know, look, you can't always prioritize that and execute on that, but it's important to us. And so, again, I think any player, you sign up a 1-year deal, multi-year deal, you understand this is part of the game. And I mean, he was just a total pro while he was here. I know it's always tough when we're talking about our belief in what we can do down the stretch. It's always tough to trade out of your major league clubhouse. But obviously bringing Mark in helps. Getting a chance to give Marco Luciano some at-bats is something we're all excited about. So I think it's a totally fair question, but again, it's part of the business. And I still think on the grand, you know, in the big picture, guys are really happy here, really enjoy playing here, and that's, I think, a reputation we want to see continue.
One real quick one, then another longer one. A quick one. Is Luciano going to get any shortstop time, you think?
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, obviously, this is really about getting him at bats in the DH spot. I don't think we're kind of putting in ink that he's a career DH now. Obviously, he's young. We've talked about his defensive progress. So there may be spots where he moves around the infield, but this is the role for him right now.
And secondly, I know, I mean, you've got a season, weeks, months left in the season. You don't want to look entirely big picture, but you have to look big picture when you're looking at the trade deadline. 6 years into it, Farhan, I mean, where do you think this franchise is? Do you think it's significantly moved forward from when you took over? Do you think there's been a stall? Where are you at with the
I mean, look, our record is we're 2 games under .500. So, and to your point, Tim, that's, you know, we've had stretches in 22 and 23 where we got some separation from .500. We're in really good playoff position and weren't able to sustain it. And so I think that's why it was so important for us in this case to really just leverage the strength of our team and keep the rotation intact. You know, when I look at the progress that's being made, to me, it's breaking young players in. We've talked about that a lot. This year, between Ramos, Fitzgerald, Birdsong, I think those are things you can really hang your hat on as, you know, something that represents long-term progress for the organization, players who've been drafted. And, you know, that's part of, you know, this, you know, I know you get to this time of year, and frankly, whenever you're a little bit on the competing bubble like we are, we're, you know, 3 games out in the wild card race, there's a notion of, you know, let's sell and let's enhance the farm system. But, you know, you can have all the prospects you want. It's not going to matter until you actually create opportunities for them, right? So you can go out and get a bunch of guys, but if you're not willing to do some of the things we did over the last couple of days to create opportunities for those guys, it's just not going to have a chance to impact your major league team. So, you know, really to answer your question, I would say I think what fans want to see, I think what we can hang our hat on as an organization is the progress of young players coming up and impacting us. And I named 3 guys, and that's not including, you know, guys like Eric Miller and Brett Wisely that were acquired into this organization, but are young players who have a chance to be here for a long time. So the more of that, you know, the more we have guys coming up, establishing themselves, you know, like a Pat Bailey did last year, I think that's where the progress is coming from.
Hey, Farhan. Was there for you a fine line that you had to cross between, you know, slashing payroll versus being all in on this year? How was that measured?
Yeah, there's no, you know, I mean, for us, these were all kind of baseball decisions. And like I mentioned, John, it, you know, they were decisions that had to do with creating opportunities for young players, you know, very specific young players. And, you know, again, we're trying to compete. We have this rotation that we think can carry us. And, you know, I mean, we're making an organizational decision, a baseball decision for these, you know, that we believe some of these young guys can help us get to where we're trying to get to. And, you know, that's a responsibility that we have to sort of be right about that. That's not a responsibility that they carry. So, so yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, you talked about the best rotation in baseball. What about the offense, which has been very inconsistent? Why not bring in a big-time hitter to help support that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd like to have the best rotation in baseball and the best offense in baseball, but, you know, that's, I guess, something to aspire to. Yeah, again, I you know, kind of mentioned this before. I think for us, the, you know, upside that we saw was, you know, giving at-bats and opportunities to some of our own guys. You know, there are, you know, always certain group of players out there in the trade deadline. There are players that I think were rumored out there that wound up not getting traded, a lot of those guys. So, you know, some of it is just really a hypothetical and not really a function of availability. So you've got to kind of make decisions based on, you know, what's real and what's attainable. And, you know, like I said, seeing the success of some of our other young players to kind of continue in that direction and try to give them the opportunity to build on that momentum. And again, I think that's what fans want to see. It's what we want to see. We want to see these guys who are going to be here for a long time get opportunities and hit their stride. And I don't, you know, from an organization standpoint, from a fan standpoint, I don't think anything, you know, gets people more excited than that. And again, for us, you know, bringing in a guy like Mark Hanna, who I think is going to be huge for our clubhouse and just the functionality of our roster, you know, you're hoping those are complementary to, you know, homegrown players, young guys who are really doing the heavy lifting. And so that's kind of the vision we hope to see.
Just kind of playing off that, Farhan. At our radio station, we take a lot of calls from fans who are kind of, I guess they're frustrated over what they perceive to be as a lack of direction with this team. What would you say to those fans who are feeling frustrated and who have maybe kind of lost hope to kind of get them excited about the future of this organization?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we're kind of leaning into our young players. I mean, we have heard a lot from our, you know, look, development is not a straight line, right? I think when we're talking about guys like Ramos and Fitzgerald, they're perfect examples of it. You know, Ramos has been AAA for 3 years and, you know, was getting hot and got an opportunity. And, you know, now we see where he is. Tyler Fitzgerald, you know, was a fourth round pick for us back in 2019, went a level at a time, had a nice minor league career, got an opportunity to come up last year, did a nice job. And, you know, we kind of kept the shortstop position open, hoping that somebody from our group of young players could, you know, take the reins, and he did it. So I think that's going to be the fun of the rest of the season is we're going to continue to bring guys up. We Marco Luciano's here today. We want to see him get the DH at bats and see if he can run with those. You know, we've created a rotation spot for Hayden Birdsong, and I know people are really excited about what he's doing. So, I think that's, to me, that's kind of baseball. It's most exciting when you're playing competitive baseball, meaningful baseball, and you've got young guys coming up who can be part of it.
And then you said back in your intro presser that you believe that the Giants should be the best at everything. I'm curious, you know, in your 6 years here, what do you think, you know, you in this organization have been the best at during that time?
Yeah, look, we don't have the best record. So I think to your point, anything I say is not, it's not manifested in the bottom line. So I think for us, it's, you know, continuing to build a culture of players who want to be here, players who are proud of the city, of the organization, of the uniform. I think we have that. We have a manager who guys love playing for. We saw that this past offseason in our free agent recruiting, the excitement that guys had about coming here, being part of this organization. And again, I think farm system rankings are going to be farm system rankings. But for us to, you know, I think we've really hit our stride the last couple of years and guys actually coming up and becoming contributors and being part of this team. And I think sometimes there's been frustration at, you know, guys that didn't get over the hump or maybe didn't become part of that. But, you know, every organization goes through it. And I think over the last couple of years, the examples of players we have, is getting us there. Look, we're not going to be, you know, if you look at like rookie production, war, whatever, we number one. There's no team that's number one in that every year. But that's, I think, what we want to see.
I haven't looked at the Fangraphs playoff percentages for you today. I would imagine they're not great. They weren't great even, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Would you be disappointed this team is not right there at the end? Do you expect to be there? Do you expect a playoff? Where do you think your chances really are?
We expect to be there. I mean, you know, I probably look at the playoff odds, a little too much as probably a lot of baseball fans do because it's hard to really interpret what they mean beyond the number. You know, at some point, it's not really about the probability. It's a discrete question of, do you have a 10-2, 14-3 run in you to get to where you need to be? You know, because it's just like any individual game, a win probability goes from 0.1% and someone hits a grand slam and suddenly it's 90-95%. So, you know, is it 20? Is it 70? Is it 33? I think what our playoff odds are telling us is we've got to have a big run in us. And if we do, we'll be there. And if we don't, we won't, you know. So that's where I think the pitching and the fact that I think when you look at the starting pitching matchups, almost every game the rest of the season, we're going to look at it and believe we have an advantage there. It's a pretty good place to start any baseball game. And again, it's gonna take that run. Our guys know it, you know, we know it. And again, I think the common thread when you see teams get on a run is just pitching that gives you a chance to win every day.
My sort of question is similar vein. Do you see this roster as constructed as a team that can make the playoffs, or is there more looking towards the future?
Yeah, 100%. I think we can. I mean, we have felt that way since the start of the season, and our roster looks different than it did at the start of the season. We've had guys come back. We've lost some guys. 100%, I believe that. And like I said, I can't sit here and guarantee it. It's going to take us getting on a roll. And, you know, 2 weeks from now, we may look at those playoff odds and they may look very different. They may look the same. I mean, at some point here between now and the end of the season, you know, we're going to have a 1 week or 2 week stretch where people are really talking about us being as hot as any team out there. That's what it's going to take. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
All right, that's Giants President of Baseball Operations Farhan Zaidi addressing the media after the MLB trade deadline earlier today down at Oracle Park before the Giants take on the Oakland Athletics in what is the final Bay Bridge series between the Giants and the Oakland A's. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Nibs. When we come back, we'll break down everything Farhan said, including him saying, quote, 100%, I think we can make the postseason. What do you think? 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Nibs with Dibs, FP, and Grandy. More next on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care
of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees.
How about you? I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The trade deadline has come and gone. Farhan Zaidi, Giants president of baseball operations, has addressed the media. The Giants have acquired Marcana. They've said goodbye to Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson, and Alex Cobb. And now they enter the final third of their regular season, four games out of a playoff spot, two games below 500 with hopes of making the postseason. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, FP, and Grandy with you. Guys, we just heard from Farhan Zaidi his full comments addressing the media at Oracle Park. If you missed it, rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can check it out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/957 The Game. It will be up there shortly. You can also rewind on our YouTube live stream as well if you missed it. But the highlight of the whole thing, essentially Farhan Zaidi, for the vast majority of the questions he was asked, some form of saying, yeah, the moves we made, getting rid of Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson and Alex Cobb, was to open up opportunities, to create opportunities for the young guys. That was the theme of this presser. Dibs, FP, he must have said something along those lines like eight different times in those 20 minutes.
In seven different ways. And, you know, I buy it. Maybe I'm just in a mood of defending Farhan, and I have for a couple of weeks, because I do think he was set out to do a certain thing and he tried to do it. And, yeah, it didn't work with Soler, and so you make the move and you realize you've got younger players coming up. You mentioned it earlier. Sable up, Luciano up. Birdsong has a chance now to be in the rotation. Harrison's already there, and he's going to be in the rotation. I don't think that he is being disingenuous, FP. I don't think that he's lying with the motivation. He didn't mention the other benefit, which is, hey, we saved a ton of money as well. But I do think it's about creating opportunity.
Yeah, one thing you could say about Farhan, he's never been disingenuous. Like, he, when he says something, he means it. He's as honest as they come. Maybe sometimes too frank, I think, at times. And my biggest point of contention with Farhan as president of baseball operations has been, to develop young players, you have to give them a chance to play. To call up a 21-year-old prospect from A-ball, or I mean from AAA, excuse me, he's got to play. He can't play one day, sit 4 days, play one day, get sent down, get called up.
Pinch hit every third game.
If you want to develop a championship player and a winning player, you have to let them struggle at the highest level and learn how to work through that struggle. And if every time they go 1-for-20, they get sent down, or 1-for-15, they get sent down, or they come up and they're platoon players because they're used to playing every day in the big leagues, when you make the commitment and you roll the dice on a 21 or 22-year-old to call them up, they have to play. They're not going to develop by playing once every 5 days. So it sounds like, based on recent developments, maybe the new coaching staff, that's the case. And I love everything he said. I'm not defending Farhan. I'm not going to criticize him, but I'm not going to say he's great. But what he's done right here, I'm buying completely. Because if you've given guys opportunities, and they've taken advantage of those opportunities, and they show you they can play at the highest level, then why wouldn't you do it with other guys? And they haven't done this in the past, whether it's been because of injuries this year, and let's try Elliot Ramos, he's an all-star. Let's put Hayden Birdsong in there, most swings and misses and strikeouts in Colorado since Tim Lincecum. So now he's seen it with his own eyes, that if you give these guys a chance to perform, they're doing it. Now, if they don't, and Luciano falls flat on his face, that's valuable too. Because now you know he can't play here. But you never really know unless you take the reins off and say, here it is. You're my DH. You're going to get 200 at-bats the rest of the year. Show me what you got. Hopefully, it's in a wild card race. Because you can't evaluate a guy in the month of September in games that are meaningless. You can't evaluate a guy in Scottsdale in games that are meaningless. The worst evaluators, if September holds weight and you're not in a pennant race to an evaluator, they don't know what they're doing. But if now you get Luciano in some heat, Now you get Casey Schmidt in some heat. Now you have Hayden Birdsong in some big games in September against the, well, they're not playing the Dodgers anymore, but some big games in September, which is stupid, by the way. Don't get me going.
I hate it.
Don't get me going.
I hate it. Balanced schedule.
But now you're developing championship players. Now you're developing winning players that you can lean on in a pennant race. So whether they perform or not, I don't know, but you're going to find out either way. And the only way you find out is letting them go. Not playing once every 4 days, not platooning, not going to Sacramento, not getting called up. Let these guys play. Let's see what they got.
So you get that information, which is what you're talking about. Yeah. Information on all these guys. It's value. So you get to the offseason and maybe you realize, hey, Luciano showed something. He can play a little bit of second, and you know, you work on his glove in the offseason. You already have something with Fitzgerald. Patrick Bailey is a legitimate second contract catcher. You know you're gonna keep him. Ramos is an all-star, and you start to look at a real core of younger players, so you go into the offseason, even if you don't make the playoffs, which is not ideal, and Farhan was 100% set on believing that they still can, and I think that they absolutely can. If the pitching holds up, there's no reason why they can't win three of every five down the stretch and be a playoff team.
Real quick, Grandy, you're increasing the value of these players too. If Luciano comes up and performs and hits three something with homers and you think he can't play defensively anywhere for you, now in the offseason you've increased his value. So now he's a piece in a trade opportunity that has more value than he does right now as we're talking. So that you're gambling. I mean, he might not hit.
It's a pretty big gamble.
But if he does, they think he's ready. And he had a great month of July.
It's even more of a gamble because of what you're talking about, Dibs. Farhan said this when asked if he thinks this team still has a chance and is their goal is to make the postseason. Here's how Farhan answered that.
Yeah, 100% I think we can. I mean, we have felt that way since the start of the season, and our roster looks different than it did at the start of the season. We've had guys come back. We've lost some guys. But 100% I believe that. And like I said, I can't sit here and guarantee it. It's going to take us getting on a roll. And, 2 weeks from now, we may look at those playoff odds and they may look very different. They may look the same. I mean, at some point here between now and the end of the season, we're going to have a 1 week or 2 week stretch where people are really talking about us being as hot as any team out there. That's what it's going to take.
So that's Farhan. When asked if he thinks his team can still make the postseason, he says, quote, 100% I think we can. Why I say that's a little bit of a bigger risk now, because you are opening the opportunities for the young guys. If that's your goal to make the postseason, and I guess when he's saying young guys, he's probably specifically talking about just Luciano and Birdsong. I wouldn't imagine there's an everyday spot for Casey Schmidt, an everyday spot for Luis Matos. I would be shocked if that was the case. I mean, they added an outfielder in Mark Canna. You didn't trade away Conforto or Yastrzemski. It seems unlikely there's room for youngsters other than Luciano and Birdsong on an everyday rotation schedule for Birdsong. But say Luciano struggles to begin and the team is the offense is really struggling and you have those goals to make the postseason again, dude.
Like why is it always got to go to the worst case scenario?
Best case scenario, he hits 300.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Best case scenario, he hits 300.
What if Luciano gets hit by a bus on the way to the ballpark today?
That would be bad.
If your goal is 100%, we think we can make the postseason, and you have a young guy who hasn't been able to stick at the major league level yet. Not that it's been crazy. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of opportunity, but if he isn't able to stick still, there's going to be pressure to change your decision and not go with the youngster if he's costing you chances to win and make the postseason. You have no time to mess around anymore.
But you have roster flexibility, and if you look at Mark Canna's game log, he's been playing a lot more first base than he has outfield, so I would profile him as a first base DH. Luciano probably DHs a bunch. Matos will get some chances in the outfield. You're not just going to go with an absolute set lineup of youngsters and say, all right, Yaz and Conforto, you guys aren't going to play anymore. We're going to go all with the young guys. You're still trying to win, and you're going to try to put your best defensive team out there that you can. And if guys start to struggle, you're going to give them more leash than you would have otherwise, I think. And, Farhan said it, and FP made a great point about Luciano. All right, Marco, you got 200 at-bats. Maybe it's 150. I don't know what the number will be, but 54 games left. You're going to start at least 40 of them, maybe 45, maybe 50. Here's your chance to show us that you are a major league hitter. And if he looks really bad and he's overwhelmed, then you're not just going to ride it out.
He's never looked at, though.
I know, but if he does go 1 for 26 and he's starting to really look like it's in his head,
right,
you're going to make a move and you're going to do what's appropriate to protect him. But I do think you bring him up in a spot where he can be most successful. And you're right, Grandy. You're not just going to punt the year in the interest of giving Matos 200 at-bats and Luciano and all the rest of these guys. You're still trying to win, but you're trying to win and develop the young guys, which it's worked in many ways this year. And Fitzgerald's been developed, and you've been able to win. And Birdsong has come in and developed and won. So it doesn't have to be exclusive, develop or win. I don't think so. I don't think they look at it that way. And, you know, if you fall 8 games out in the wild card, well, then, yeah, all bets are off. And no more Conforto, no more Yaz. You're going to play the kids. You're going to bring up Mason Black, and you're just going to go, Carson Wisenhunt will get some pitching. Whatever happens if you fall out of the race, then it's a different calculus in how you play these guys.
And that's the worst-case scenario, too, because now you're not exposing these young players to meaningful games in September.
Yeah, September baseball, playoff baseball.
If they played some really meaningful games in September and fall short, I mean, the value of that alone for these young guys, to know what it feels like to be in that heat, and for next year when they do it again, now you're starting to really develop players. It's more about the numbers. It's about, you know, playing games mid-September because we're 2 out, playing games in the end of September because we're a game and a half out. We tied this thing up. We're the 3rd wild card today. Oh, we're the 4th one tomorrow. And then to really feel what that feels like, that would be the best case scenario is they sneak into the 3rd. But the second best case scenario is these kids get exposed to really, really, really tough baseball in September.
And yeah, you're playing, even if you miss out, you're playing it into the final week of the season with a chance for winning games and getting into the postseason. And you hope that your youngsters are part of it and are playing well through it. Marco Luciano and Hayden Birdsong are going to be the two that have that chance. I mean, Effie, what do you think? I mean, when he's talking about, quote, creating opportunities for the young guys, it's essentially just Luciano and Birdsong, right? Like, we're not going to get consistent, I would imagine, not a ton from Casey Schmidt or a ton from Luis Matos.
If you play, if you perform at the highest level and you get the job done, you're playing for Bob Melvin. It's not like if you go 2 for 4, you're sitting on the bench. If you make some plays to help him out, like just pay attention to what he's done this year. So you earn your playing time, unless you're the guys like Chapman that doesn't have to look at the lineup every day, or Patrick Bailey doesn't have to look at the lineup every day. Maybe Lamont Wade Jr. when he's healthy doesn't have to look at the lineup every day. I think Tyro has to look at the lineup when he walks in the clubhouse now, when he comes back, righty or lefty.
Especially when Schmidt's here now, because he can play second.
If Tyler Fitzgerald keeps doing what he's doing, he don't have to look at the lineup. He's in there. You come at a certain point as a player when you're free and you don't have to look at the lineup when you walk in the clubhouse. It's a beautiful feeling that you earn because of your play.
But I mean, as of now, Casey Schmidt and Luis Matos have to look at the lineup every day because they're not going to be in it every day.
Like, of course.
The opportunities that he's talking about here are specific to Luciano and Birdsong.
Mainly. No,
there's opportunity for anybody that steps foot in between the lines of a major league game and plays in a competition at the highest level. That's opportunity. And if you perform that day, you're going to get another chance the next day. That's how it goes. And if you get hot, like Tyler Fitzgerald, now all of a sudden you're the starting shortstop. So it's not just these two guys get opportunity. Every time you get behind a mic in a big market like San Francisco, it's an opportunity. And you take advantage of that opportunity. And somebody's listening out there, whether it's your boss right here or somebody in their car. Like, it's life is about taking advantage of opportunities. So it's not these guys are getting more opportunity than others. Bob Melvin's going to put the best lineup out there, or Farhan, whoever does it every day, to win that game. And if you get in that game and you do something to help them win, when every game means so much from now on, you're going to play in the next day too. I mean, unless there's just a matchup thing and it's weird and you have you're 1 for 46 off this guy, or you play you faced him 2 months ago and you looked bad, you're going to earn your playing time. So for Casey Schmidt to hit a home run the other day, that's big. He's getting a call up. To play second base decently is big, to make all the plays. Like, he's getting opportunity. It doesn't matter the score, the opponent. If you get into a major league game and do something, that's an opportunity.
And there's a lot of those to go around. But I do think when Farhan spoke today about the moves they made, it felt like the opportunities immediately were for Hayden Birdsong. Okay, now you're going to be in the 5-man rotation. No more worry about Alex Cobb and who goes out when Cobb comes up, when Cobb's blister's better. That's gone. So now it's Birdsong.
Good point.
That's the opportunity. And for Marco Luciano, it is, okay, We know you've struggled at short. Everybody knows it. There's no mystery, but you've been hitting the cover off it in Sacramento, and we want to get your bat up here. So how about you DH? Don't even worry about your glove, Marco. You know, maybe you play a little bit of second. We're not putting you at short. We know that. And we probably won't put you at third either because you haven't played third. So just come up here and hit. Do the one thing you've been doing so well. Just come up here and rake. So that's the opportunity for Marco Luciano. And it's really, it's not pressure-free, but it's not as pressure-packed as it was when, all right, you're the shortstop, and now we're going to give you a real look. And we said back in spring training that you were going to be the starting shortstop, and that never materialized. So when he finally came up, there was a lot more pressure on him to go out there and do the job because we all expected it to happen in April, and it didn't. So now just come up and hit. So those are opportunities, but FP's right, wisely still. Can you be a mainstay on this team? And Fitzgerald, are you really this good? And Ramos, can you find it again after your pre-All-Star flurry? He's been in a little bit of a spot. I wouldn't call it a slump or a funk, but you know the league has kind of solved him a little bit. So for all these players, there's opportunity.
Yeah, there is for all of them, and the Giant, we'll see how the Giants' season turns out. I mean, they're going to hope to ride their pitching staff, and they hope that almost no matter how these young guys who are potentially getting more opportunities now perform, the Giants feel like they're going to be in games because of their pitching staff, and Farhan Zaidi was asked about that. He said a couple of times in his presser down at Oracle Park with the media that he feels like they have the best pitching staff in baseball, at least one of the very best. A follow-up question was, well, what about trying to go out and take a big swing for a big bat at the trade deadline? Something that has frustrated me just a little bit. And here is what Farhan said about that. Farhan, you got a great pitching staff, but what about adding to your team and adding to the lineup?
I mean, yeah, I guess you'd like to have the best rotation in baseball and the best offense in baseball. But, you know, that's, I guess, something to aspire to. Yeah, again, I you know, kind of mentioned this before. I think for us, the upside that we saw was giving at-bats and opportunities to some of our own guys. There are, you know, always certain group of players out there in the trade deadline. There are players that I think were rumored out there that wound up not getting traded. A lot of those guys, you know, some of it is just really a hypothetical and not really a function of availability. So you've got to kind of make decisions based on what's real and what's attainable. And, you know, like I said, seeing the success of some of our other young players to kind of continue in that direction and try to give them the opportunity to build on that momentum. And again, I think that's what fans want to see. It's what we want to see. We want to see these guys who are going to be here for a long time get opportunities and hit their stride. And I don't, you know, from an organization standpoint, from a fan standpoint, I don't think anything, you know, gets people more excited than that. And again, for us, you know, bringing in a guy like Mark Canha, who I think is going to be huge for our clubhouse and just the functionality of our roster, you're hoping those are complementary to homegrown players, young guys who are really doing the heavy lifting. And so that's kind of the vision we hope to see.
We got a classic Farhan chuckle in that answer. I know you love that one.
And also the functionality of our roster. So Mark Canha, good clubhouse guy, according to Farhan. I've never met him, but it seems like, you know, he's been in clubhouses, and I don't think there's ever been a dust up. But also the functionality of our roster. And that tells me that Canha can DH, Canha can play left, he can spot you in right, he can play first base. So their roster needs a little bit more functionality because you don't have a right-hand hitting first baseman. And your left-hand hitting first baseman's hurt all the time, and you've got outfield pieces that are moved around a lot.
Let me speak for Grandy right here. What if his personality changes and he murders everybody on the team?
Yeah, that's
Come
bad.
On.
That would be bad for morale, FP. Back to you.
I got a news flash for Farhan. They will never have the best offensive lineup in baseball ever. Unless the average temperature of San Francisco goes up to 84 degrees in the summer and they move the fences in 50 feet everywhere, then maybe they could lure some big hitters here. But until that happens, you're going to have to either trade for them or develop them yourself.
And that's what Grandy
was saying.
That's
why this is so important right now.
And that's why Grandy, and I don't want to speak for you, but the frustration of the Mark Grandys and the fan base is the only way you're getting a slugger, and I want a slugger, is you trade for them. And yet, here you go out and you acquire Mark Canha and a couple of hurt pitchers. A hurt pitcher and a few minor leaguers, that's where the frustration lies.
Yeah, no
I get
doubt.
That. I get that.
No doubt. And, like, I get that you're creating opportunities for the young guys, but, I guess my question would be, beyond that, what did you accomplish this offseason or this trade deadline? And you could say the opportunities for the young guys is better than the people that were holding those spots in the first place. And that's fair enough. But
or the opportunity for the young guys is better than trading them for mediocre players that were out there.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not giving up my prospects.
I'd rather have parades than prospects any day, but I'm not giving up my prospects for some of the names that were traded.
And look,
today.
I mean, to take a word out or take a phrase out of the Warriors handbook and Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob's handbook, trades are hard. And just because you didn't make a trade doesn't mean that you didn't try. Like, it takes two sides to make a deal. And I'm not flaming Farhan because I didn't think he tried. But at some point, you're going to have to try something different to get a different result because it hasn't really quite been working. But my holdup is, and my frustration is generally when you're creating opportunities for the young guys, and you're hoping that it works out with your young guys. I mean, we just ran through this with the Golden State Warriors and the two timeline approach. You hope to win and develop at the same time. Generally, it doesn't really work that well. Generally, when you're trying to create opportunities for the young guys and you're going to see what your young guys have, that generally coincides with you kind of waving the white flag on the year, and the Giants are kind of trying to thread that needle, and I think it's a really hard needle to thread.
It is, but in baseball, you do have the benefit of playing both sides of the ball, and so if your offense is middle of the pack, and I think they're right in their 15th, 16th in most metrics, run scored and all the rest of it, but you look at your pitching staff, and it's been subpar. It's been bottom third all year, but you look at where you might be over the final 54, and you think, well, with these five starters and a shored-up bullpen, a bullpen that we should rely on less as we go away from openers and we get better starting pitching, you can think that your pitching could be good enough to where your mediocre offense allows you to win enough to make a playoff run. And that's what I'm hanging my hat on, dude. That's what they're hanging their hat on.
Let's see how it all plays out.
And that's really the only approach they could take if they wanted to try to win. The other approach would be what you were talking about, Grandy, which is sell four or five guys and get as much back as you can, and then we'll see you next year.
Yeah,
and they're not, I don't think that Farhan or the front office is in a mindset or in a position to even do that.
Yeah, I mean, they probably had a price that they were willing to part with Blake Snell for, but no one met that price, and then you just keep him. You say, all right, we'll keep him. He's been pretty good for the last month. We hope he leads us to a postseason berth, and then you hope that he opts in. If he doesn't opt in, you hope that you could re-sign him again. But the nightmare scenario is, and I know FP is going to hate me because I'm going nightmare scenario, and that's where I tend to go. You miss the postseason, and these guys that are on the 1+1 deals opt out, and then your incredibly successful offseason where you finally were able to sign some big-name guys is all for nothing.
What if these guys like playing for Bob Melvin, and they like the way the organization treats
them? That would be great.
And they're really happy here.
That would be great.
What if that's actually the case right now?
And then if the Giants have an idea that their player like Chapman and Snell and Ray feel that way, and they feel confident that they're going to re-sign them or keep them around, then yeah, I think they probably would have made the right decision to not trade them. The only time will tell, and I don't really know what the answer to that is just yet.
Yeah, I don't think any of us do.
Yeah. We'll find out. All right, we got to hit a break. We'll come back. We got 1 hour left. I see you, Mike, on hold. We'll get to you coming up on the other side. We'll hear more from Farhan Zaidi. Farhan has addressed the media after the Giants wrapped up their trade deadline by trading away Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson, and Alex Cobb. They acquire Mark Canha, an injured relief pitcher, and a couple of minor league players as well. More coming up on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs, FP, and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.